Welcome to the Joy Felipe Bruce Podcast. Sister Joy Felipe is a daughter of Bishop Dyke Heward Mills and the senior pastor of the Fountain of Life Cathedral of the United Denominations, originating from the Lighthouse Group of Churches. The Fountain of Life Cathedral is a thriving church of young, energetic people full of life for the Lord. Sister Joy is also an itinerant minister of Dyke Heward Mills Ministries. She travels extensively, holding pastors' conferences and bringing ministry-related books by Bishop Dyke Heward Mills to the nations. She is the evangelist of the Blessed Salvation Crusade. Now be blessed and refreshed as you listen to this inspired message by Sister Joy.
Hallelujah. God is doing wonderful things in our church. Amen. This weekend, we've had testimonies that we had to shift some. Hallelujah. Because the church is alive and God is moving here. Help me welcome Ohinaba as she brings his testimony this morning.
You don't want to say.
Oh, let's put our hands together for him. Please, your name and where you are calling from.
Please, my name is Ohinaba Owusu-Efrie, and I'm from the Christian Pop Stars.
Wow. Okay. Ohinaba, tell us what the Lord has done for you this
morning. So, my testimony is about a divine escape.
Hey, tell me about a divine escape.
So, I was on Monday, I report to work at 8. My mom called her. She passed through town and checked something at the bank for her. So, I was in a hurry. So, I passed through Sofo Line, and there's a pedestrian lane, and there's where cars are. So, I was walking at the pedestrian area, trying to get a doom car. Now, before I realized, I had been displaced.
Hey, no, relax, break it down. Break it, tell anybody I break it down. Explain the displacement for us.
So before I realized, I had been moved back. So, I checked, and my slippers was off.
No, we don't understand. What brought about the moving back?
So I didn't see. So I was at the pedestrian side where everybody stands. And before I realized, I have moved back. So I checked. My slippers was off. Apparently, the car had hit me.
Hey, which car?
It was a Trotsky.
Hey!
So he had come off the road where he's supposed to be on, where he's supposed to be driving, to where we are standing, and he had hit me.
Like the Trotsky had left
yes, his
lane.
Yeah,
into your lane where you are supposed to walk.
Yes.
And it hits you to displace you.
I didn't see, but I just realized.
Tell anybody that divine escape.
And he hit me on my right knee. And if you've known me for a while, I had history with my right knee. There was a time in school I couldn't walk. So I was in a hurry. So when I got up, I was on skate. There was nothing wrong with me.
Nothing was wrong with you. Yes. After the Trotsky displaced you, I think it's a good place to rise to your feet and put your hands together for the Lord. A lot of people, even the car just touched them and they are dead. But by the grace of God, our brother is alive this morning. And I think that your clap is an honor to God this morning.
There's a shocking part. So I rushed and I did everything. Then when I told my mom, she was like, so did you take the trot guy's number? I was like, no, I was in a hurry. Then I realized I'd done something wrong. So I started feeling a bit funny in my right knee. So they sent me to the hospital to go and check. Ladies and gentlemen, 100% normal.
Wow.
So there's nothing wrong with me.
So this is the scan.
Yes.
And nothing is wrong with
you. There's nothing wrong with me.
Let's put our hands together and give glory to God. We thank God for saving our brother. Hey, we would have heard bad news, but because of divine escape. Hey, Anga Christian Pop Stars, what will we do? Hallelujah. But by divine escape, our brother is well. What would you like to tell the church?
So I would like to tell the church too. I really believe since the convention, when Bishop Ogo preached blessings, I really believe in words spoken over me now. And each time when mommy is praying the tithes, one thing she says is God should bless you in your going out and your coming in.
Hallelujah.
You hear things like divine exemption. I think these words have hung over me. And somebody who was supposed to be in the cripple right now is standing here. Oh. And I even came to dance on it. So I want to say, believe the words that are spoken here. Believe in the prophet, 2 Chronicles 20:20. Believe in God, you'll be established. Believe in your prophet and you will chalak, you prosper. In the name of Jesus. Hey. Hallelujah.
Let's put our hands together for this amazing testimony. We have another testimony in the house. Help me welcome Emmanuel Kwao as he brings his testimony to us this morning. Oh, let's put our hands together for Emmanuel. Oh, yes. Because he made a way. Oh, yes.
Hi, everyone. My name is Emmanuel Fabnakwao.
Okay.
I'm from New Life Council.
And, okay.
100 Voices Choir.
Oh, why, Gazelles, you know, encourage him. Wonderful. Okay, Emmanuel, tell us what the Lord has done for you.
Okay. My testimony is about how I won a scholarship by just obeying.
Did you hear him? His testimony is about how he won a scholarship. Hey, people are not hungry for a scholarship. Wow. Hey. Hallelujah. Emmanuel, tell us how it came about.
Okay, it all started when my brother sent me a link to apply for a scholarship.
Okay.
And I was like, no. My current CWA, no.
I can't apply for a scholarship.
The CWA, why so, do you have a firm foundation? Oh, yes, but you don't worry. Keep going.
So, I can't apply for a scholarship, so I ignored it. But later, I was there, and I remembered something Mommy said some time ago, that there are some instructions. You are supposed to just obey. Don't say anything. Just obey. So I decided to apply. Then, God being so good, I had an SMS that I've been, like, my application is successful. So I just come for an interview. Then I told my pastor about it, LPMFA, and then my CEO.
Tell neighbor that that's why you have to have a pastor in the church. Tell neighbor that this is why you have to have a pastor in the church.
And then I told my CEO also, Petra.
Okay.
So they prayed.
Wow. You see, yesterday, Mommy was talking about being part of a Bacenta family. All the people he's mentioning is because they are part of a Bacenta family. Turn to your neighbor and say, which Bacenta family are you part of? This week, a lot of Bacenta families met. But ask your neighbor, which one are you part of?
So, they prayed for me, then I went.
They prayed for you?
Yes, they prayed for me,
went
then
for
I went.
The interview. Okay.
And when I got there, my interview lasted less than 2 minutes.
Just 2 minutes?
2 minutes. And the questions that they were asking is as if they've given me the scholarship and I'm telling them what I want.
Hey.
Yes. So, the questions were like, how much is my fees? How much is my hostel fee? I was like, hey.
Number
are these
one,
the interview questions?
You that you were not qualified.
Yes.
You that your city of BA was not part of even
yes.
your imagination.
Yes.
By the grace of God, you went for the interview.
Yes.
And
please.
When you went for the interview, it lasted only 2 minutes.
Yes, please.
Some of you are sitting down as if you cannot recognize the goodness of God in this testimony. But whatever you are not qualified for, may the Lord favor you and may you receive that miracle in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. And after that, you were telling me that you got an SMS. That you have been given the scholarship.
Yes, please.
Oh, I don't know why you are sitting down like that. I don't know why you are sitting down like that. Hallelujah. Wow. And they gave you the full scholarship.
Yes, please.
Hallelujah. Amen. What would you like to tell the church this morning?
Okay. I want to tell the church that if you find yourself here, it's not by mistake.
Oh, yes.
Because last vacation, we were asked to share a flyer, and I did. So a lady friend of mine saw it, and she was like, Episcopal sister is your pastor. And I was like, yes. Said, wow. So I was surprised, and I asked her why. She said she had the privilege to listen to her once, and her life got transformed.
Hallelujah.
But I have the privilege to be listening to her every day.
Oh, yes.
I'm here to tell you that it's a privilege to be here, and please take advantage of it. And another thing too is, please share your testimony, because it's true. Aisha, that's how Mommy said that there are some instructions, you have to obey them.
Wow.
Yes.
It's true, so Aisha's, it's true testimony.
Aisha's testimony.
And Mommy made that
Mommy
statement.
Mommy made that statement.
And that's what gave you faith to believe.
Faith to believe.
Oh, I think it's a good place to put your hands
testimony.
Together for the Lord. Amen. That is why you have to share your testimony. Amen. Let's give it up for Star Cheryl, even as she brings us a song this morning.
is no problem too big. God cannot solve it. And there is no mountain too tall. He cannot move it. And there is no storm too dark. God cannot calm it. There is no sorrow too deep. He cannot soothe it. And if he carried the weight of the world upon his shoulders, I know, my brother, that he will carry. No problem too big, God cannot solve it. And there is no mountain too tall, He cannot move it. There is no storm too dark, God cannot calm it. There is no sorrow too deep, He cannot soothe it. If He carried the weight of the world upon His shoulders, I know, my brother, that He will carry you. And
stand to your feet this morning. Just lift up your two hands before the Lord and say, Lord, may I hear you today. May my life be impacted because I came to church. Father, thank you so much for a day like today. Thank you for bringing us to church this morning. I pray, Lord, that your grace will be sufficient for us. Have your way. Speak a word to us. A word in season that we need to hear. In Jesus' mighty name. And all the saints shall say, amen and amen. Put your hands together. Put your hands together. Hallelujah. Wow, are you glad to be in church? From here, it's very colorful and I like the colors. It's nice, bruh. Amen. If your neighbor is in white and black, tell your neighbor that I think you need a dash of something, a dash of red, a dash of color. Tell your neighbor, a splash of color. Hallelujah. Oh, amen. Are you awake? Hey, today the choir, I think we have enjoyed you today. As I was listening to you, I said that this one is our own version of Team Eternity Choir. Yeah, very nice. So God bless you. Amen. Hey, but mommy, you didn't congratulate me, please. Oh, but don't do that. Tell me, but don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that. Hallelujah. Before I start preaching, let me just give you a few important announcements, okay? Yes, the announcements are a lot, so I want you to write them down. Are you okay? Yeah. Now, I just want to remind you that we have our God Lovers service every Tuesday. Amen. And there's a service for people who just want to know a little bit more about God. When you love someone, you know, you want to know a little more about the person. Amen. So I want to highly recommend it. Then I want to remind you that we have a visit from the Momo Bishop coming up from the 12th to the 13th of March. Please tell your neighbor, don't do your things, eh? Don't do your things. Somehow you don't really have any problem spending time watching movies. You don't have any problem spending time betting. You don't have any problem just spending time fritting it away. You don't have any problem. Then when it comes to church, then why? No. Say neighbor, please. We don't enjoy those things. Yeah. So you want to be here. This is a gentleman with a special grace upon his life. Amen. I cannot explain the grace. I only know that it's a genuine grace. Amen. And he comes in and he preaches the word of God. He's a son of the house. He's Bishop Nobleson. And he's our bishop in the town of Konongo. He'll be visiting us from the 12th to the 13th. The 13th, which is a Friday, will be an all-night, just to give him time to minister. Please tell your neighbor, if you don't come in, I don't mind, but don't text me later on that you haven't finished paying your fees. Yeah. Don't text me that you are raising funds. Don't text me that you are broke. And certainly do not text me that you are hungry. Yeah, because this grace that's passing through the house is a grace we have seen before. In fact, I actually sent a video to somebody. I don't know who has kidnapped it. But it was a video that it has gone out. Okay, the social media says it's gone out. One of our people who was giving a testimony last year. Yeah. Who was a Petra's testimony? I mean, it was real. We saw it live. So don't miss it. Amen. And then we also have a Salvation Night, a Night of Impact on the 27th of March. 27th of March right here. So you just want to put a date against that. I believe it's a Friday. Yeah, it's a Friday. So you want to be there. Amen. You know, the unbelievers, they don't mind going, they don't mind going clubbing on Friday. It's the Christians who are always grumbling. God hears your murmurs, you know. So just use your Friday properly. Amen. Then also, a few programs ahead. Good Friday is coming up quickly. It's amazing. We are already talking about April. So Friday, the 3rd of April, is Good Friday. And in this church, it is a very important day for us. This is one of the days when our Father ministers. He will be at the Independence Square. And he ministers, and there are real life miracles. Are you there? Now, for those of us here in Kumasi, what we do is that we come into our churches, we rent a large screen, and we watch. Our view is actually better than the view of those who are on the ground. Yeah, you see more. It's like watching a football match. Hello? Those at the stadium, they are there, but you are the one who sees, yeah, when as you're enjoying it on the TV, on the screen. And we noticed that the miracles happen here just like they happen there. Yeah, one of my own friends, the very first time we had it a few years ago, he had come to the meeting with a broken leg. And he left without his POP. Yeah, he's a medical doctor by profession. He was standing there, Bishop Prince's brother. He had broken his leg. It had been a whole whatever. Are you there? And right there, he had been healed. Are you with me? So you don't want to miss it. You don't want to miss it. Because most of you are likely to be in school, at least if you are wise. Some of you, wisdom is far from you. That's why you may be at home at that time. No, because exams are just shortly after Easter. So if you are wise, you should just know that this particular Easter is not one that will be spent chilling at home. You should just know. You should just know. You know. So I'm just sharing it with you because as you stay to study, make time for that service. It's a Good Friday and we're going to be here. Amen? Oh, are you there? Tell your neighbor that I perceive that you need healing in a place we cannot mention. But the Lord knows. The Lord knows and the Lord will help us. Amen. You see, when I say it, you think that it's not you, but you'll be very surprised. There are people who need to be healed from fear. All your issues, there's nothing wrong with you, it's just fear. You see, and it's something you cannot feel and touch. Yeah, it's not, and non-tangible. I am finding these days that the non-tangible diseases are wreaking more havoc than the tangible ones. Yeah. Amen. So let's believe the Lord, and it's a miracle service, and we'll be here participating fully. Hallelujah. Now, the last announcement I have for you is all the way in July. So that I would have given you plenty months to prepare. Tell your neighbor to prepare. Now, one of the interesting and the nice things of being a first lover is that apart from all the programs everybody has access to with Bishop Dag, the first lovers also have special times with Bishop. And this year, there's going to be the Mountain of the Lord Camp coming on from the 28th to the 31st of July. Please, what month are we in? March. So you cannot say I've not given you notice. How much notice are we giving you? Half of March, April, May, June, July. Yeah, July. Write it down. Amen. Because as for going, there will be. With you or without you, we are going. But just tell them, with you or without, we are going. We are going. Amen. So I want you to just mark that time out and say that we are going. The room is very quiet, suddenly. And it's an opportunity. It's an opportunity. All right. Beautiful. Beautiful. So have you written these things down? I mean, of course, there will be reminders coming, I mean, all the way. Hallelujah. I want you to just pray for a moment as the word is about to come, as we're about to start preaching. I don't know, today I really want everybody to have a special word from the Lord. Yeah, you know, the preaching of the word is good, but when God says something special to you, you seem to catch that one thing and put that one thing in your heart. So just talk to him for a few minutes just to prepare your mind and your heart again as we begin to go into the word. Film stars, thank you very much for your film. And we are back to talk about others. 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 Something must enter us. Others. Others. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Oh, yes, Lord. A special word from you this morning, Lord. A special message. Personal to me. Lift up your voice and ask the Lord that you receive a special word from him this morning. Oh, yes, about your current situation. Oh, my. Oh Lord, grant me revelation to understand when you are speaking to me.
Hallelujah. Father, we are grateful. In Jesus' name. We've been talking about others. I want you to ask your neighbor a question. Have you done anything for anybody this week? And get an answer, please. If the answer is no, it's also an answer. So if your neighbor looks away, the answer is no. You should tell the person that you have been written about in the book of James. Because somebody who hears the word and doesn't do it is almost like someone who hasn't heard at all. We've been on the topic of others. And if you remember, we took our story all the way from William Booth, do you remember? The Salvation Army leader who lived between 1829 and 1912. He lived a very long life. And that is one of the marks of evangelists. Evangelists live very long. Very long. They live much older. They stay much longer than other ministers. Yeah, they live till they are old. I think there is a grace upon their lives because they are soul winners. And this man was so convinced that others were important. Amen. And I've been sharing with you about how he sent this message to his people, to his leaders. Just one word, others. Amen. And last week, we spoke about the Others program. Do you remember? In other words, those of us who are here in this church, doesn't matter, you don't need a title. But from now, you are learning something. And in this program, we are saying that we are learning to think about others. What is the job? What does it mean to be part of the Others program? Said number one, you're going to become a personal friend to somebody. Amen. Let me add, maybe somebody other than the friend that normally is with you. Because there are people who, this your friend has been with you for the past 4 years. Make another friend. Be a friend to somebody. Are you in the church? Then we share that person, make sure that they are in church every Sunday. Please, can you ask your person that? So, did you get to know somebody and is the person in church? Some of you, when you come to church, you're only thinking about yourself. But we are training ourselves to think about other people, about others. Yes. I tell you that people who think about themselves all the time, they are very unhappy people. Yeah. And this generation, you are a very unhappy generation. Well, you had all the things that many of us thought that, we grew up without. Yet the more you have, the more disgruntled you get. Ah, you see that you're very quiet. And the more entitled you get. Because God didn't create us to just think about ourselves. He didn't create us like that. Amen. So make sure that those people are in church. Just by knowing that you've helped somebody. You know, today the song that Cheryl sang, it's a ministration. Somebody will come. Maybe the preaching is not for the person. But Charlie, just ministers to your heart that my issue, God can carry me. It's not special. It's not so big. So even just that, so making sure the person is in church to receive that ministration. Are you in the church? Yeah. Then the third thing, as you're on the Others program, show people, show them love. You see, how do you show them love? You try to help them with any of the personal needs, any of the personal problems that they may have. And number four, help them to fit comfortably in the church. When you come into a church, one of the things that is needed is that you must be comfortable there. You must be comfortable. Every church has its culture. Every church has its way of doing things. So when somebody who is in there takes an interest and tries to help, at least you are able to fit in a little more. Amen? You don't feel like, Charlie, I'm alone here. How many of you have ever gone to church and you felt alone? My hand is up. You see, some of you, you are just there like bread and water. No, never mind. Hey. Are you in the church? You're just there. You walk, you feel so lonely. Everybody seems to know. They seem to know each other. But somehow you there, you are just there. And you really feel like you are sticking out. Everybody can see that you are alone. Remember the example I gave you last week, how I was saying, turn to your neighbor and say, and there was this row, in fact, it was somewhere around here. And there was this young lady sitting there. Oh, the two here turned to each other, and the two here turned to each other, and then the person was just in the middle, and I could just, oh. After a while, I just changed my preaching and stopped saying, say to, because it was too bad. Oh, how come you are sitting by somebody, you can't see that nobody is talking to the person, for you to just turn to the other? If you say that thing twice, what will happen to you? Hello? Well, today we're going to continue, and we're continuing with the story of a man, called Job. And today I'm talking to you about Job and others. Job and others. Job and others. Job was a very interesting person. Before we get into his story, let's just look at one scripture, Job chapter 42. In the Living Bible, it says that when Job prayed for his friends, the Lord restored his wealth and happiness. And in fact, God gave him twice as much as before. Today, the lesson that we want to learn is that God wants us to be concerned about other people. But in the midst of that concern, we also have our own issues and our own situations. And we want God to intervene in these situations. Now, it's okay to want God to intervene. But one of the things that we need to accept is that he does it in his own way. Are you here? If you come to the Lord with a problem, don't come with your prescription of how he should answer you. There was a man called Naaman, a Syrian man, a warrior. He was a very good man, good warrior. The Bible says that he was a leper. Nobody knew that he had leprosy apart from everybody in his house, which is everybody. The thing was covered. And one of his servants brought a solution and said he should go and look for a certain prophet. So he goes to see the prophet. And the prophet tells him, the prophet doesn't even come out. He sends him a message. Go and dip yourself in the Jordan. Naaman Bo. As I've come, park my beautiful chariot outside your door. They said, I was expecting you to come and wave your hand and call upon your God. Wave your hand over the area where the leprosy is. Many of us are like that. The guy almost missed his blessing. Just that because he was a very good leader, a very kind leader, his servants really liked him. So another servant came and said to him, the master, if the man of God had asked you to do something difficult, would you not have done it? How much more when he's just asking you to do this simple thing? Please just do it. Because Naaman's issue was that the river that you're asking me to go and bathe in is dirty water. Where I come from, the rivers are cleaner. These things there. I need people with catapults in the church. They used to think the church is their house. They can't believe that we are, they can't enter. Amen. Are you with me? And when he did what God said, Charlie, he got his healing. Many of us today, this is our problem. This is why you feel that God has not answered you. Because you have your own prescription. As you have come with your own sickness, you have diagnosed yourself and decided that if God is going to answer you, this is how he's going to do it. Hey, are you there? Let me show you a scripture. In the book of Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 8. And you must remember this scripture. You see, you know the scripture by heart. Maybe you didn't know it was in Isaiah, but you know it. The scripture that says that my thoughts, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, and neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. We quote it often, but I don't know if we believe it. Because what the scripture is saying is that how God thinks is not how we think. Yeah. The way he does his things is not how we do our things. That's why sometimes when we question him, it's foolishness. Yeah. I can understand why you would question. And at times things happen. And you want to ask why. You want to ask why. Who has been there before? You want to ask why. Yeah. You want to ask why. I remember one day when some fine man of God, he just died. Just died. Saturday, Sunday, he was gone. I said, Lord. You have allowed this evil man to stay. He's alive. This other evil one is alive. Now this good man is the one you are killing. Ask anybody, are you God? Are you God? What does God know that you don't know? He knows a lot of things. He knows a lot of things. Now one of the things that he says is that your answer will come when you are taking care of somebody else. That's his way. You are saying that when my everything is okay, I'll take care of somebody else. But he says that when your everything is not okay and you take care of somebody else. Are you understanding the scripture now? Are you understanding the scripture? Yeah. We like to prescribe things, you know. And some of us whose Christianity is very shallow, you even try to say that you are angry with God. God, I asked you that you should let me pass this exam. You didn't let me pass it. I won't talk to you again. Sometimes the things that happen are painful. Lord, why was I 10 years old when my father died? When you look at it from your perspective, it feels very wicked. But God has another perspective. I have a friend who almost died. in the year 2021. Hey, the prayer went up. The guy was raised. Today, 2026. I wish he was dead. I wish he had died then. Because he is no longer a believer. He has turned his back on God. He has gone into fetishism. He has gone into a lot of dark things. And I'm here, I'm saying that, oh Lord, if he had passed away in 2021, in the year 2021, he was a believer in Christ. Oh, you don't understand what I'm saying? Hey, but the way we prayed, the prayer that went up for him, at the point, Bishop himself was begging for the guy's life, talking to some people, please, 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 let's go back, help. The guy has survived, but today, if he was dead, if he had died then, he would have died as a believer. But Eja, we thought we knew everything. So maybe your father who passed when you were 10, God said, if I don't take this man now, by the time you are 20, this and this and this and this, because God's eye is on eternity. We don't know. Or you know, you yourself cried. There are lots of things we don't know. There are a lot of things we don't know. You see? And we need to accept that. We need to accept that. There are many things. There are painful things in life. That's why Shao sang the song she was singing this morning. Are you there? Yeah, because I knew what I was coming to preach. That's why I gave her that song to sing. Yeah. Charlie, there are some things, some storms. You just wonder. You just wonder. He wondered that, Lord, if me as a believer, this is what's happening. You have left the unbelievers. I'm a child of God, and look at what you are doing. Are you in the house? I'm giving you another scripture, Psalm 18 and verse 30. We are taking this one in the ERV version. Some of the times, we just look for the simplest version that it explains it well. God's way is perfect. That so says the Bible. You should know by now that your way is not perfect. Or you don't know. Today what has happened to you? You're not minding me at all. Why? I said you should know by now your way is not perfect. Is it perfect? Are you perfect? No. But the Bible says that God's way is perfect. So even though it may seem some way to you, that is his way. And you who's not perfect must understand that his way is perfect. And leave it to him. Don't try to be God. Don't try. As for things you can't explain, plenty. A lot. A lot. But don't just accept that you can't explain them. Yeah. Is it a good preaching? Yeah. So with this background, I want to show you somebody's story that makes no sense at all. Makes no sense. When I say makes no sense, in the scheme of things, to us, why should such a thing happen? What is that? So let me introduce you to the man Job. There's a book, Job. I'm sure you've not even opened it before. Job chapter 1, and we're going to read the first 3 verses. There once was a man named Job who lived in the land of Uz. He was blameless. A man of complete integrity, not like some of us. I didn't say anything. He feared God and stayed away from evil. So this is an upright man. When the Bible says you're upright, then you're upright. Some of us, we think we're upright, but we're very crooked. Are you in the house? The next time you are criticizing a politician, put a guard on your mouth. You know why? Because you don't know what you would do if you were there. You might have been worse. Yeah, you might have been worse. Saying these people, they are stealing our money. You might have been worse. You don't know. It's just that you have not been given that privilege. So you don't know what you would do. And me, I'm very honest. No, you have not been tried. He had 7 sons and 3 daughters. Wow. Wow. Look at it. Can you see a rich man? Those days, this was wealth. He owned 7,000 sheep. You have not seen 1,000 sheep. That's why you don't react, because you don't know what 7,000 looks like. How many of us here have seen 100 sheep before? You haven't seen 100. Oh, 100. You haven't seen 100. Please. Please, 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 please. You haven't seen 100 sheep. Are you there? 3,000 camels. I mean, if you know what one camel eats, one camel. So 3,000 camels, I mean, you got it. 500 female donkeys, with emphasis on the female, because it means that the multiplier effect can work. He also had many servants, and he was, in fact, the richest person in that entire area. This is our introduction to Job. Please, can you ask your neighbor, are you as wealthy as Job? What's your neighbor saying? Now, the story of Job is a very long one. But I have to say to you that it is not an easy one. Something happened. Tell your neighbor, something happened. And we see calamity visiting this man. Let's go to verse 13 of chapter 1. Job chapter 1 and verse 13. There was a day when his sons and his daughters were eating and drinking wine in their elder brother's house. You know, sometimes there's wealth and you can, I mean, it's not just the father's house, even the brother. They were just having a good time. And there came a messenger unto Job and said, the oxen were plowing and the asses feeding beside them, and the Sabaeans fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I alone am escaped alone to tell you. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the fire of God is fallen from heaven and has burnt up the sheep and the servants and consumed all of them, and I only have escaped to come and tell you. While he was yet speaking, there came another. And he said, the Chaldeans made out of three bands and fell upon the camels and have carried them away and slain the servants with the edge of the sword. And I only am escaped to come and tell you. And while he was yet speaking, another one came and said, your sons and your daughters were eating and drinking wine in their elder brother's house. And behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men, and they are all dead. And I alone am escaped to come and tell you. And Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshipped. I wonder what you would have been doing. And he said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And in all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Ask your neighbor that, excuse me, what have you gone through that you are, whatever you have gone through, does it look like this? We are still reading his stories. While he was yet speaking, so sadly, calamity upon calamity upon calamity. We are continuing our story in verse 2. Now, at this point, before this point, the only thing that was left was that he was well, he was all right. But in verse 2, the Bible says in verse 7 that Satan went forth from the presence of God and smote Job with boils from the sole of his feet unto the crown of his head. So now, he's also not well. Are you there? You are still listening to the story. I want to ask you whether you have gone through such things. How did this man solve his problem? This rich man who had been brought down, he had been brought down not just to the level of an ordinary man, but he had been brought down to the level of a zero. In fact, a minus, because even his health cry, he didn't have it. Are you there? Yeah. In fact, I need to tell you that even his wife cry became a beast. Yes, let me read that. Verse before we talk about him solving his problems. Mrs. Job. Listen to what his wife told him. Verse 9 of chapter 2. Then said his wife to him, do you still retain your integrity? In fact, the Message Bible says, his wife said, are you still holding on to your precious integrity? Curse God and be done with it. Listen to his answer. You are talking like an empty-headed fool. We take the good days from God. Why not also the bad? Not once through all this did Job sin. He said nothing against God. What a guy. Tell your neighbor, what a guy. What a guy. Yeah, what a guy. You see. Everything had turned again. In fact, the last card was his wife, who should have said that, we are together in this. She too, she has now shown that, hey, brother, you're on your own. Because as she was advising him to curse God, you can see that she there, hey, please. How did Job solve his problems? How? How? Are you in the house? Job, he did not solve his problems. Now, the first problem he had was a problem of employment. All his sheep were gone, his camels were gone, everything was gone. He should have been sitting there taking care of himself. Now, from this point on, I'm just going to begin to give you testimonies in church. Are you there? To make it practical, because some of you say that, oh, this was then. It was a long time ago. It's not now. And that's why we have tried to look through the church and we have tried to pick up some testimonies. And this morning, I'm going to show you some testimonies. My first testimony that I'm sharing with you is about somebody who had the same employment problems. Are you there? We're taking the testimony of LP Gloria. Are you in the church? Mm-hmm. You see, I would have used your testimony if you had shared it, but you didn't share it. Yeah. Some of you, God has done so many things and you are so ashamed of him, you never share your testimony. So, allow us to use the ones that we have. Listen to her testimony. This is the story of her Lady Pastor Gloria, of Lady Pastor Gloria, and how God showed his faithfulness through her willingness to serve others, even in her own time of need. Lady Pastor Gloria, by the way, she's a graduate, so she has finished school. But after that, she went to Bible school. And after Bible school, she came to Kumasi to serve God faithfully in the church. When she arrived, however, she did not have a job. And even though she had completed her training and had the desire to work and support herself, opportunities had not opened for her at that time. Around the same time, she met Joel. Bona, there is Joel. He also had completed his national service. And he too was going through a difficult time because he was actively looking for a job but had not found one. Gloria was unemployed. Are you there? But she did not focus only on her own situation. She decided to help Joel. She reached out to some friends and contacts that she had from the Bible school and spoke to them about Joel. And through these efforts, she was able to connect him to an opportunity, and eventually he was able to secure a job. During all this time, she herself did not have a job, but she continued to serve God faithfully and support others without complaining. Now here comes the miracle. Some time later, Joel was in a meeting at his workplace, and his boss mentioned that he was looking for a personal assistant. Immediately, he remembered Lady Pastor Gloria and the kindness that she had shown to him when she helped him with a job. He told his boss about her and encouraged her to apply for the position. Lady Pastor Gloria applied for the role, trusting God, and by the grace of God, she went through the process successfully and was offered a job. Today, we thank God. Gloria came to Kumasi to serve God without a job, but God used her to bless someone else first. And in the end, God remembered her also. Put your hands together for the Lord. Wow. Are you remembering somebody who has a need greater than yours? Yeah. Because some of you think that your problem is the biggest problem in the world. You are so terribly mistaken. You are mistaken. Let us continue. What other problems did Job have? Now, remember that he was a rich man, but now everything is gone. So he had money problems like some of you. Some of you, you only come to church when things are going good. One of the statements that I've heard before that always puzzles me is someone who says, I can't come to church because I don't have an offering. I don't understand you. I don't understand you. I don't understand you. Tell your neighbor, I don't understand you. What does it mean? You move around, you go to lectures even when there's nothing in your pocket. Yeah. Church is just church. We take offering. Has anybody come to you and ask you, yes, how much did you give? Where's your offering? No. You think God does not know? How can that be an excuse? Are you in the church? Let's read Job chapter 1, verse 15 to 17. They stole all the animals, killed all the farmhands. Are you seeing it? This was his source of money. Verse 16. Then what? All the sheep, plus the shepherds, gone. Verse 17. Hey, all the camels. A camel is not an easy animal to kill. They carry them away. And in those days, wealthy men had camels, you see. Anyway, let's look for a story. Somebody who also had problems. Didn't have money. I'm waiting for the slide. Thank you. And let us meet Bernard. I think Bernard is in church this morning. I think I heard him somewhere. Dr. Bernard wants me to know that he's around. He's around. But he says, he gives his testimony. In 2023, I was in my final year of pharmacy school, and my finances weren't good at the time. Around the same time, Juwaida had also finished her national service. And things were pretty hard for her because she didn't have a job. I would always give her money to buy food or to sort herself out whenever she texted me. I was a student at the time because I did a six-year course and I didn't have a job either. And I was struggling. I can trace so many blessings to my having helped Juwaida even when I didn't have a job myself. One major blessing was that when, after my professional exams, house job postings came, my name was not part because I paid my dues later than the deadline. But someone in Accra called me, and my name was added to the induction list last minute. It was obvious that it was a miracle because my surname is W, and my name was at the bottom when other people with Z and Y. Are you understanding what he's saying? So they've done the list, A, all the way to Z. Then by the mercies of God, somebody goes to look for this guy called Wobson Bernard and adds it under for you to understand that you have been added after the fact. Yeah. When the W's were coming, your name was not there. God had mercy. Maybe because you had mercy on somebody. When things were tough for you, you still. So there you have a picture of Bernard and Juwaida. Hallelujah. Oh, come on, if you are clapping, I want you to clap well. Yeah. Are you beginning to understand something? Tell your neighbor, we're about to go deeper. You know, Job would have been still considered himself a rich man if he had lost everything but his children were there. But he lost his children. He didn't stop to try to solve the problem of his children. One of the most heart-rending issues in life is around children. The lack of them. Some of you are the reason why your mother cries every day. When you leave church today, text her and say, Mommy, stop crying. I'm becoming proper. I was actually in church. Amen. Why is she crying? Because when she gave birth to you, Charlie, she thought hope had come. Meanwhile, please ask your neighbor, are you the reason why your parents praise God or the reason why they cry? Hey. So Job had lost his children. You know, I want us to go to two very deep testimonies, but they are good ones. Are you there? The first testimony about children. Come on. Yeah. This is a testimony that is right in this house. Reverend Seth is the pastor of our congregation that is behind the commercial area. It's a church just like this one. But this time, they also have a student service right there. Many of the students living in the hostels there are in that place. And this is Reverend Seth and his wife, Florence. They got married in church right here. Yes, carry on, please. Hey. Well, after marrying, After 1 year or 2 years, you start to look for a child. Or, yeah, some people even want to have the child immediately. They were looking for a child and the child was not coming. 1 year, 2 years. Are you there? Push your neighbor and say, what would you have done? Some of you would have started crying. Who would you? Are you there? Yeah. They could easily have retreated and said, we are just thinking about ourselves. I know people who don't have children, who don't talk to anybody. They only talk about their own issue. That it has consumed their lives. But I know others. And this is a couple. At that time, 3 years, they were still childless. What did they do? The first thing that they did was that, at that time, they used to live quite close to the campus, quite close to the church. And they opened up their home as a mission house. I tell you, everybody went to live there. People who don't have money, they went to stay there. People who couldn't pay their fees, they were staying there. People who had no job, they were eating there. Are you there? Hey, you are very quiet. Tell neighbor, it was a mission house. They never sent us a message that, please, we are thinking about ourselves and our problems. No, no, no. When you meet your pastor after service today, ask them, were you one of those who passed through that mission house? This was a family that was just dedicated to others. And even as a pastor, I knew that anybody who is down and out, cry, you just text them. They will do something about it. Yeah. They'll do something. Meanwhile, at that time, they were still trying to have a child. 4 years. 5 years. Still no child. 6 years. Still no child. Auntie Florence, who's part of the second service, where the encounter, she was there. She was just in church. There she is. She's a midwife by profession. All our ladies, when you are pregnant, come say, I'm pregnant. Something say, Florence, are you there? Please help this one. Are you there? When they're about to deliver, she's in the hospital. You see, you are young people. You don't know what it means to have somebody there. Yeah, there are people who have died or the baby has died because there was nobody who cared. She would be there. Amen. Are you in the church? She didn't have a child, but she was delivering other people's children and helping other people. In the meantime, her husband was in the Bomsu Town Church. That's what we call our church on the other side of the campus. And the campus was flourishing. And he would bring home any duckling that was wet and come and dry it. Do you understand when I say any duckling? Any young person in need of a little shelter? Oh, they were always ready and willing. Until one day, tell your neighbor, one day. After 7 years of marriage, 2022, suddenly, the Lord blessed them with their own baby. Are you in the house? Oh, your clap is the clap of people who don't know what God has done. Yeah. Today, they have two beautiful daughters. Because after baby number one, they don't know where they passed. Suddenly, baby number two was coming without... Amen. But the point of the matter is that in those 7 years, they didn't spend the time wailing. They just poured themselves out for people. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. For others. Tell your neighbor, others. Others. The number of nights that Florence was nursing somebody. The number of nights she was helping somebody. Oh, any baby that the mother calls me, lady, have true or lie? Say, my child has a fever. They say, hey, call Florence. My baby is hot. Call Florence. And she'll get up and she'll go to the place. She'll never say that, hey, Lord, you are asking me to go and look after people's children. Hey, where's mine? Push your neighbor and say that, listen, Job did not pray about his children. He didn't solve it. He was just doing the work of God. Hallelujah. Are you there? I want to introduce you to another story. Still on children. And here we're going to meet a lovely lady called Dorcas, who is part of the Ashesi First Love campus. In fact, she's finished, but she was part. When she joined the church, she joined from there. And she stayed with the campus until she finished school. She was a shepherd, and you see her training the choir and doing a whole lot of things. Now, in the course of time, Dorcas met and married one of our pastors. And you see Dorcas and her husband, and they gave birth to a beautiful baby who they named Nana. Say her neighbor, Nana. But the day came. Are you there? When Nana was 2 years old, they discovered that their child was not growing as she ought to. She wouldn't talk, she wouldn't speak, she wouldn't respond to stimuli. You know, the average child, if you touch them, they respond. If you bring your finger, they'll hold it. If you do this, there'll be a reaction or a response. And their child was not responding. At the age of two, babies, why do babies disturb? Because at the age of two, they are trying to talk. Amen? They're trying to talk. They are running around. They are discovering themselves. All this was not happening with Nana. So they took Nana to see a doctor. And the doctors, after several tests were done, they came to tell the parents the unfortunate news. Your child is autistic. Now, autism is one of the diseases which is ravaging the world currently. It has always been there, but now the numbers are higher. And what happens to an autistic person? To tell you, to give it to you simply, they are not able to respond. Are you there? They can't talk. I mean, some of you guys, you are mildly autistic. Yeah, you can't respond. You cannot respond to, you know. No, it's a serious thing. It's not that you don't want to. You find yourself holding your phone, you've read the text, you want to respond, but you can't. You're not able. Yeah. It's only that it doesn't hinder you, but it's a level. A doctor once told us that autism is more common in male children than female. But it's also there in the women. So this child, yeah. And they can't even smile. I know some grown up. I didn't say anything. Yes, I know some. You can't smile. Hey! So Nana was growing, but she was not responding. If you can imagine a child with a face. No running around. None of the usual things that, you know. So, after a while, doctors decided that, look, I've tried to help my daughter as much as I can. Taken her from place to place. I used to be a very active Christian. I used to be working. Maybe I better pick it up again. And that was when she invested her life in three people. Are you there? Three people who had come her way. You see, remember, we told you, make friends in the church. So she started. You see, before she married, she was a very active chorister. But when Nana came her way, it was not easy to attend the rehearsals. Are you there? But when she made up her mind to do something about it, she would put Nana on her back. She would carry her around and she would go and visit these three people. The three of them were young people with different levels of problems. And she sorted them out. She began to help them. Lovelace was one of them. Lovelace had issues with fees. She paid part of her fees. She said she couldn't afford to pay all, but she paid part. There was another one, Sidel. She went to look for somebody who could pay Sidel's fees. She kept on calling them every Sunday, come to church, chasing them. It's not easy. Somebody to get you to church here this morning has taken somebody's prayers. Somebody, yeah. And you are here. You don't know why you came, but the person has been talking to God about you. Are you in the house? You know. She also had another guy called Edwin. Edwin was going through depression. He was very, very depressed and very anxious. And even though she was anxious about her own child, she didn't let it stop her from ministering to other people. Are you in the church? They had even taken Nana, they had brought her to church, doing some of the programs for prayer. They had been prayed over, all of that. Nana's situation had not changed. And her mother just decided, I'm going to help other people all the same. And she began to help these people who began to be stable in church. And who currently, the two girls, Lovelace and Sidel, are finishing school, I think, this year. Are you there? Yeah. Edwin's life has moved on. He's gotten over the depression. One day, tell a neighbor, one day. There's always one day. One day, Dorcas said to her husband, did you hear Nana talking? So they began to watch. They used to go for a review. That's all. There's nothing they can do. Just check the child. Continue. The doctor said she needs therapy. So they are trying to help her. She wasn't responding to anything. But suddenly one day, tell your neighbor one day. One day, Nana started talking. Wow. One day, Nana started smiling. One day, Nana started running. One day, Nana started responding. I tell you something, that as Dorcas focused on other people, the Lord healed her problem. Today, Nana is a little girl, completely active. Autism is gone. She's been taken back to the doctors. Hallelujah. The doctor said she's cleared. She doesn't need any more therapy. She doesn't need to come back for any review. The Lord had healed her while her mother was sorting out somebody else's problem. I'm talking to you today and telling you that it is the wisdom of God. Don't sit and let your problem drown you. Turn to somebody else. Hallelujah. Help somebody else. By this time, Dorcas would have been a living widow, crying plenty. But as she concentrated on others, God sorted her out. Hallelujah. I'm almost done. But let me take you to Job and his accommodation problems. By this time, you should know that he was homeless. Hey, are you there? Some of you, some small problem that will come, will not hear the end of it. Eh? Oh, tell your neighbor, look, push your neighbor and say, neighbor, are you learning something? Are you learning something? Yeah. I want to bring us back. Remember last week we started our stories with Aisha. I'm coming back to a story from Aisha. Yeah. She doesn't mind sharing her testimony. You are the one who wants us to think your life is perfect. Please, so when you are in church and the word of God is coming, it's not a good time to be on your phone. As I'm saying, I'm watching somebody. It's not a good time at all. It's not a good time at all. Yeah. Because the only word of God you hear is this 1 hour. After that, the whole week you don't hear anything again. Yeah. Let me tell you Aisha's story, and I'm reading what she wrote. At the beginning of the semester, my rent was already due and rent in January, and I didn't have money to renew it. I also didn't have a clear plan on how I was going to get other accommodation. And in the middle of this uncertainty, my friend Erica reached out to me because she too had a problem. She too had not been able to pay her hostel fees. And you know what the porters do? I cannot keep a place for you because you have not paid. When Erica told me the story, I encouraged the situation. I encouraged her to pray and to trust the Holy Spirit for help. Are you there? I kept checking on her. I kept checking on her because she was discouraged. So you yourself, you are discouraged. You and baby, I woke up. You don't know where you are going. At a point, she was even thinking of putting her education on hold because things seemed so difficult. Are you there? We had a church camp, so she came to school earlier than usual. And at this point, accommodation was still a big problem. Even students who had paid were not allowed access to their rooms. How much more? Even though my own rent situation was uncertain, I told her that she could stay with me. And for a few days, at least, she could be there and have somewhere to sleep. And later on, God made a way for her to stay with her cousin Akote during this time. By the grace of God, we returned from the camp and something amazing happened. The same porter who had earlier said he would not allow her to move in allowed her to enter the room. She was able to settle in, and by God's grace, she was now being able to pay some of her hostel fees. Hallelujah. During this time, my own rent expired. Yet for 2 weeks, the landlady said nothing, as if she didn't realize that it had expired. Then eventually she said, I have to move out. At this point, I didn't know where I was going to stay. But God showed his faithfulness again. Someone gave me a temporary place for some weeks. And now, God has sent another person who is willing to accommodate me until I'm able to get a place for myself. I thank God, because even though I was going through my own challenges, he still used me to encourage someone else. And in the end, God made a way for both of us. Put your hands together. Oh, come on. I'm not enjoying your clap at all. Wow. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, I want to just take a short diversion into 1 Kings chapter 17 to tell you, just underlining the fact that God's ways are not our ways. If you don't remember anything at all today, when you are leaving here, remember that his ways are not our ways. And that's why he tells you that you must just take care of others. In 1 Kings chapter 17, we meet the story of a certain prophet, Elijah, who had decided that rain will not fall on a certain country. Now, as he said rain will not fall, Charlie, tell anybody, you don't declare things like that because you yourself, you're in the country where the rain is not falling. Hey. So he was in the same country where rain was not falling. And as food became more and more scarce, he also had nothing to eat. But he was a man of God, and so God provided for him. Let's pick up the story from verse 10. Now, the first source of food had worn out. So let's go into the New King James, since it's a bit easier to understand. Now, God now came, because where he was sitting, the river had dried. Verse 10, arise and go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. See, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you. Are you there? Ask your neighbor that, please, if you are going to provide for me, Lord, is it a widow that you bring? Sorry, this is now verse 10. So he arose and went to Zarephath. When he came to the gate of the city, indeed, a widow was there gathering sticks. And he said to her, please bring me a little water that I may drink. As she was going for it, he called to her and said, please bring me a morsel of bread in your hand. And the woman said, as the Lord lives, I do not have bread, only a handful of flour in a bin and only a little oil in a jar. And see, I'm gathering a couple of sticks that I may go in and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die. You see, you can see that the situation was bad. The woman had just enough to make the last meal. And she told her son, after this, we just wait for death to come for us, because there's no food anyway. And it's in this circumstance, when she's thinking about herself and thinking about how painful is it going to be to die, that the prophet now comes asking her for food. If you don't take care, you go bald. I thank God that she didn't know that this is the person who had proclaimed the famine. Are you there? This is the person who has brought the famine, the source of the problem. He is now coming. As you have created famine, you have now come to my doorstep to come and ask me for food. Ah, God has a way, I tell you. So she told the man of God that this was what we were going to do. I'm showing you verse 13 and 14. What did Elijah say? Do not fear. Today I want to tell everyone who is in this room, you have a situation, you have something that you are facing. Do not fear. Don't be afraid. Do not be afraid. Am I talking to someone this morning? Do not be afraid. You are a child of God. It's the first thing you should remember. Yeah. So he told her, do not be afraid. Then he said, go and do what you have said. You would have thought that the man of God would say, don't bring it again. No, 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 no. No. Eat and bring it to me. Some of you, when we are standing in church and we say, bring an offering, then you are insulting us. Why? My last 20, why should I put it into the offering? See, God's ways are not our ways. They are not our ways. Yeah. It's as simple as that. And he said, bring it to me, and after that, make the one for yourself, for your son. Then he now opens a certain prophetic door. There are some doors that do not open until you do something first. And suddenly he tells her, listen, because God says that the bin of flour shall not be used up, the jar of oil shall not run dry until the day that there. If I like this scripture, I like it in the King James. The barrel of meal shall not waste. Neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sends rain upon the earth. There was a miracle. But that miracle was only going to be released by a certain sacrifice that she was doing. Hallelujah. Job, he had all these problems. You see, and some of you sitting here, you have problems that are bigger than your size. Or bigger than your age. Your problems belong to your grandfather's generation. Don't start to feel sorry for yourself. I want you to learn from Job. Let me show you something. Job focused on solving the problem of bringing his friends to God. The whole of the book of Job, when you have time, read it, because it takes some time to read. He had three friends. Let me introduce them to you. So, neighbor, let me introduce them. The first friend, Eliphaz the Temanite. The second friend, Bildad the Shunite. The third friend, Zophar the Nemophite. These were the three friends who heard about Job's predicament. And they came around him. And one would have thought that they would have brought strong words of faith and consolation, but they rather brought accusations. They rather brought a whole analysis of their own. You see, there are some people who, during your time of difficulty, pray that they are not around you. They will say only what will bring you down. And those were the kind of friends that Job had. Now, when we read the story of Job, you see that in the chapter 2 and even further, the Bible says that he didn't sin against God all through. These guys had come to prove to him that you are a sinner. You don't know what's going on. This issue that has happened, you don't even understand it, and you are talking. You know. So Job realized, out of the kind of relationship that he had with God, he realized that God was not happy with his friends. And so in the situation that we have, that he was in, we don't hear of him praying to be healed. We don't hear of him praying for a job. We don't hear of him praying for a situation. We only hear of him praying that God will have mercy on these three foolish men. Lord, forgive them. They don't know what they are saying. They don't know what we are doing. And the Bible says, that's the scripture we started with, that when he prayed for his friends, the Lord healed them. Let us read the end of the story of Job. Take us to the last chapter, please. When Job prayed for his friends, the Lord restored his wealth, and the Lord gave him twice as much as before. Are you there? Then all his brothers and sisters and former friends arrived and feasted with him in his home, consoling him of all his sorrow and comforting him because of the trials. And each of them brought him a gift of money. Wow. All these people were there. They never turned up till he had prayed that prayer. Yes. The Lord blessed Job at the end of his life with more than the beginning. He now had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, 1,000 teams of oxen, 1,000 teams, that's 2,000, 1,000 teams of oxen, and 1,000 female donkeys. Wow. Tell your neighbor, wow. Let's see what the next verse says. And he gave Job 7 more sons and 3 more daughters. The Lord restored him fully, but it took the prayer for a friend. Put your hands together for the Lord. This morning, I want you to stand to your feet, and I want you to pray for somebody. Last week, I asked you to pray that you go and call somebody. The Lord will even show you who to call. But as you stand here this morning, I want you to practice this scripture, because I see that some of you didn't do it, and you want to just talk to the Lord about somebody else, about a friend in need, a friend in a problem, or even an enemy in a problem. Because some of these friends, by the time they were done, they were more like enemies than friends. As I'm sitting here hungry and I don't know my left from my right, you have come to accuse me that I'm a bad man. Hey, lift up your voice and pray. Lift up your voice. Lift when we say pray, you are quiet. Morning. Lift your voice up and pray.
And pray for somebody. Pray for a friend. Pray for a brother. Pray for a family member, for another person. Lift up your voice this morning. Mandebri kabalaba shweminenea. Oh, manama shabalaba shamanenea. Lift up your voice and pray for another person, that roommate. You know the kind
Decide
of life.
Decide to join the others program. You're going to look after one person, two people, three people. Concern yourself about them.
Oh, pray for another person. Don't look at your problems, but be concerned about others. Mommy said, decide to join the others program. Lift up your voice. That one more person, pray. Oh, pray for a person. When Job prayed for his friends, the Lord restored him. Lift up your voice and pray. That next classmate, the next roommate, your next door neighbor, you know the kind of lives they are living. They are going straight to hell. But even as you pray for them, even as you care about them and you pray for them, the Lord is saving them through your prayers. Oh, lift up your voice. Everybody, make sure you are praying in the room. Make sure you are praying in the room. Oh, pray for them.
pray. Oh, Father, cause us to be a church that cares for others. Help us to care for others. Help us to take care of others. Help us to come out of ourselves and be more concerned about others that you also care about, God. Turn our eyes to you. Forgive us our selfishness. Forgive us for thinking only about ourselves and making ourselves the center of our universe. But Lord, we turn and we change our minds and we say, Lord, just as you came all the way because of us, we also can go one more mile, one more step for another person. We also can pray for one other person. We also can pray for one other person. We also can care for one other person. That will not just bring ourselves to church, Lord, but we will actually call somebody. We'll actually go to that person's room. And we'll actually help that person to come. Because we know, Lord, that the salvation we have, others also need it. Help us, Lord. Help us to care. Help us to share. Help us to look after somebody. Help us to make somebody smile. Help us to give hope to somebody. Help us to show, Lord, that the church is what you caused it and what you wanted it to be. May somebody smile again because of us. May somebody laugh again because of us. May somebody have hope again because of us. May somebody who had turned their back on you turn back again because of us. May they say that if a human being can be so good, then it is because God sent that person. I pray, oh God, that because of us, others will come back to you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for trusting us with this work. Thank you. In the mighty name of Jesus. This morning, I want to do a special altar call. You are here in the service. You don't have any title or anything, but you're just saying, at this program, I want to be part. I'm going to try. I just want to try. Where you're standing, just lift up your hands. I'm going to pray. Just lift it. You're saying that, I don't have any title. Lift your hand where you are. I'm going to pray for you where you are. Just lift it. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Please, if you don't lift it for me to see, I will not see from here. God bless you. I see hands all the way up the back. I see your hands all the way. Pastors, I want you to walk through every hand that's not up. Ask them why they came to church. Ask them what they are doing here. If you are still in your own self, lift it. I'm going to pray for those with their hands up. I'm going to pray. God bless you. God bless you. Yes, it by force. I love you enough to insist. Let's pray. Father, thank you. See our hands, Lord. We're going to try to do our best. Touch our hearts. Lord, lead us when we leave here. Lead us to somebody else. I pray, Lord, that an arrow will enter the heart of everyone whose hand should be up but is not up. I pray that they will have a revelation from you by your Spirit. But for each one whose hand is up, I pray, Lord, that you will remember them. Show them somebody that they should bring up. Show them. Thank you. Thank you. Now I want you to take your bag, take whatever you brought with you to church. Pastor Albert, where are you? You're going to meet them outside right now. Take whatever you brought. You're going to meet with Pastor Albert right now outside. Just take whatever. If you put your hand up, I want you to just meet him. Just come out of where you are. Just go. He'll talk with you. And then we'll continue. Just come. Take your bag, your Bible, whatever you brought. Because you may come back in, but you may not get your seat again. So just come very quickly. God bless you. May the Lord bless you. May He show you that you made the right decision. May He open the door for you. God bless 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 you. I know myself. Okay. The rest of us, as you're standing, you want to bow your head. I'm going to lead all of you to receive Jesus because I'm assuming that you didn't answer the call because you are a leader already or you are not born again. You don't know Jesus. That's why your heart is not responsive. So we are all going to pray that prayer today. Amen. Is it a good prayer? You came to church out of compulsion or just to mark register or whatever, but your heart is not changed. Yeah. So we are going to pray that God should have mercy. Amen. I'm going to pray like you are a brand. Yeah, guys. Why? Let us pray, and you're going to pray this prayer after me. You want to say, Lord Jesus, I come to you today as a sinner. Forgive my hard heart. Forgive me for not being able to receive. Have mercy on me, Lord. But today, I ask Jesus to come into my heart. Make me a new creation. Change me in reality. Help me to be different, Lord, because I've encountered you. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen.
We believe that you have been blessed by this message. For more information, you can follow us on Facebook, Fountain of Life Cathedral, and on Instagram and Twitter at FOLCIUDIASE. God richly bless you.